This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is John Hillenmeyer. Beyond any doubt, in 2011, John retired as CEO of Orlando Health with high distinction. Orlando Health is an integrated healthcare system serving the greater Orlando, Florida community. The system is comprised of 8 hospitals, 3,000 physicians, 18,000 team members, and more than 1,200 volunteers. Throughout his career, John was a community leader. He served on critical boards like the Downtown Development Board and the Red Cross. Even after retiring, John continues serving on community boards. John also serves as an elder at First Presbyterian Church of Orlando. He earned a bachelor's degree in business administration from the University of Kentucky and a graduate degree in health administration from Duke University. His priority now is enjoying time with Gail, his wife of 46 years, and their 2 sons and 3 grandchildren in Austin, Texas, and San Diego, California. John, it's great to have you here today.
Well, Sam, it's a pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
You know, the first thing that I'd like to kind of start with is our community and really the world recently lost Arnold Palmer. And through the Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children, I'm sure you got to know Arnie a little bit.
Well, yes, I did, Sam, and I knew Arnold over really my entire 28-year career. While I never personally operated the Arnold Palmer Hospital, I was engaged in strategy and marketing and really the development of what was Orlando's first and largest children's hospital. Arnold was a remarkable man. He had vision and, has been told in some of the press, he visited the neonatal unit of Orlando Health in the 1970s and was quite impressed with Dr. Alexander, who ran the unit. And his conclusion after it was over was, we can do better than this.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an early time in neonatology. So Arnold answered a call from some of his friends who heard about this later and said, Arnold, we'd like you to get engaged with us and help us put together a children's hospital. It was led by many of the pediatricians in Orlando who felt at the time. So Arnold got on board, contributed his name, and over the years had to have raised over $150 million
wow.
through friendships and relationships. So he believed in giving back, and he believed it was important for the community. And to the end, he was engaged with it. He would walk in unannounced for visits, talk to patients, talk to their families. He was quite a remarkable man.
Good, good. He lived up to his press releases, for sure.
He really did. He was one of the few cases I've seen sometimes where the nice things people said about him, he lived them. They were real.
You know, we have listeners really throughout the world at this point who are interested in the leaders that come here. And the leadership styles that they have. Your career has been, by any measurement, remarkable. I have great respect for what you've done. You are to be inducted into the Junior Achievement Hall of Fame for Mid-Florida. You received a Lifetime Achievement Award from Florida Hospital Association. And I guess what I would like to share with listeners is the role that faith plays in your leadership style?
Well, you know, by background, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I'm an active Presbyterian now, but I really like to think I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ and the message and word he has brought to us. And the idea that there is hope for an eternal future. I think that's important for people to see, particularly given some of the difficulties we all experience in life. So faith is important to me, and when I had serious decisions to make, I did pray over them and ask God to try to guide me and guide our team of people. So it's an important part of my life, and I take it to work.
Okay. Tell us about Orlando Health. Everybody wants to know about the situation that you're in or were in as a leader so that they can compare that situation to theirs and maybe gain some insight about how to operate. Tell us a little bit about Orlando Health.
Well, it's a large, complex healthcare system. I could probably talk about it for hours, but I'll try to be succinct. It's a community service organization. It was founded by volunteers in 1917. It's a private, not-for-profit organization, and sometimes people think of not-for-profit organizations as having big hearts, but not really operating like businesses. Obviously, a organization that has over $3 billion a year in revenue and 15,000 employees and treats 100,000 community citizens a year, or probably more than that now. It's very complex, so business and leadership principles need to be applied. I think the difference in it and maybe just a large corporate entity is the reason that large publicly traded companies exist is to provide returns to their shareholders, mm-hmm. and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe mm-hmm. in the free enterprise system and think it's much of what's made our country great. But in healthcare, we have to balance it with the needs of our patients, and so sometimes we make decisions to provide services and activities, treat people who don't have the resources to pay their own way, but yet we have to be smart enough and systematic enough that we can make enough return that we can provide that community mission and still be successful or viable financially. Because the greatest mission in the world, if it doesn't have the resources to carry out its mission, it's not going to survive.
It's not going to make it.
Our people were great, but if I walked in every Friday and said, well, we're not sure we have enough money to pay you, a lot of them who are very deep people who care about their patients, they wouldn't work very long.
Yeah.
So it was a real balancing act at times.
Throughout your career, you emphasize vision, mission, and goals and how those three components fit together.
Well, I think, and I'll go back to Proverbs, and Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that always struck me because I was working in business, and I've seen organizations that do a lot of things, but where the people seem to sometimes struggle is, I think some organizations don't have much vision, don't have some way of trying to see and create a future. And I think vision gives hope, if it's a good vision, and that's how you motivate people. And so once the vision is established, I think you really have to reduce it to a practical mission. Our mission at Orlando Health was to provide highly effective health care to the communities and people we served across the whole continuum. And then, the goals, which really evolve from strategy, build on those first two elements, and they're the specific things you're going to try to do to be successful achieving that mission. And I think the job of leaders, whether it's the CEO or the senior team, is to help, first of all, people understand, see the vision, believe the vision, and then accept that I think the mission is important because that's why people want to work there, want to do their work. They believe that what we're doing is important. The how-to, you get a lot of input from staff, people, physicians, board members, the community. You look at where the industry's going, and you try to put together specific activities that will allow the organization to deliver great health care, to be financially viable, and ultimately to achieve the mission of the organization. And I think, you know, visions ultimately are the responsibility of the boards of directors. They, in our case, they are the representatives of the community. They're not elected, voted, but they're volunteers. They don't receive a dime for being board members, and they do it because they care about the community. But they then share that with management. Management works together with the board to try to create and articulate these things I'm talking about.
I'm interested in the story that we've shared in some of the preparation for this podcast, dealing with you transitioning into the CEO role. And you mentioned that as a very challenging opportunity for you.
Well, it was. It was a situation where someone who had been really somewhat my mentor for really years and treated me very good and really built much of the organization for some reasons that are probably not important, but after 20 years left somewhat unexpectedly. And so I was the chief operating officer at the time, reported directly to him, was running much of the internal operations, and he made the decision he was leaving. And so the board was in a position of what do we do next? So my feeling was we had a pretty well-established team. I'd worked with them all as the COO, and so my mission was how do we create stability? I didn't know whether I was going to succeed him or not. The board named me an interim CEO, and as the team, we sat down. I said, you know, the best thing we can do is look at our strategy, look at our goals. If there are changes we need to make, we need to put them together and commit to the board, we'll achieve them. Mm-hmm. And we did that, got good support. And that was important because when there's transition like this, it sometimes produces, it certainly produces uncertainty. I have had a group of 10 or 12 people at a senior level reporting directly to me who didn't know where it was going to go. But they supported me, and I tried to get them to focus on let's just go forward, because regardless of who ends up running this organization, whether it's me or someone else from the outside, you know, you'll be part of it, and you'll need to do the same thing. So let's do a great job, and we did that, and it certainly resonated with the board. And I think it was about 3 or 4 months they came back to me and asked me to be the CEO. I didn't just perpetuate what had gone on before, even though I'd been part of it. I had different thoughts, different ideas. Collaborating with them, we arrived at some different directions, which, frankly, were needed at the time, some different strategies because of what was happening in the industry. And they were willing to take some risk and go forward, and it turned out very well for me and hopefully the organization.
One of the issues that I'm sure you were focused on as well is building the culture of the group, and we have a feature in this podcast, in every podcast, called Sunday to Monday, and it has to do with what you might hear on a Sunday that you could take to work on Monday and the rest of your work week and your work life in general. One of the issues that the Bible talks about is the idea of loving everyone. And I know that that is something that rings true to you as a leader. And there is a verse, Romans 12:9, that says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hmm. How does that fit in the leadership style of your lifetime?
Well, I am a Christian, and I believe in the message that was given to us through Christ's words, God's words in the Old Testament. But, you know, I believe that you have to make decisions, and particularly in our business, people come to you frequently in a very vulnerable circumstance, sometimes very fearful. And what they need more than anything is love and support. And regardless of who they are, what their background is, what their condition is, and if you think of some of the things that staff have to do to take care of patients, it's if you didn't love those people, it would be very hard to do it. They're not tasks that are fun. So I think across the board, you've got to create a culture of service to humanity regardless of the circumstances. And I think that's what the Bible teaches us to do. We should give unconditional love to those that need us. We're all human, and at times all of us probably fail in that. But I think as an overall vision and goal, particularly, again, in the healthcare business, you've got to be centered there. And I think you have to be successful.
The interesting thing about the theme of all of these podcasts has to do with putting business and Bible together. Mm-hmm. And when you mention this is what the Bible teaches us to do, to love, I can't help but think of the other side of the coin, which says, what a wonderful business principle to treat your customers with that concern and with that care in building the long-run nature of the organization. Benjamin Franklin once said that by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail.
Well, that's it's interesting, and I think I shared with you that one of the books I've been reading was Walter Isaacson's biography of Benjamin Franklin. And certainly from history classes along the way, I knew a little about Benjamin Franklin, but going through and seeing how he thought and how he worked with people, he was a master politician, but he was also, I think, a highly principled man. He was someone that believed, along that quote, that you need to understand the circumstances you're in and then develop plans and actions, not just respond to things. And he did that throughout his life, and really many of the relationships early in the development of the state of Pennsylvania, where he was not a Quaker, and it was controlled by him how he worked with people to achieve really public good, not, and sometimes what the initial directions were in the colony were not in the good of everybody. But Benjamin Franklin clearly understood that, and if you read his biography, same thing in the negotiations with the English that ultimately led to the Declaration of Independence and the desire to succeed. Franklin didn't go in on that basis. He had plans and processes that he used to try to really get the country of Great Britain to change their approach. They ultimately chose not to, but Franklin was very, very capable of putting together documents and processes and engaging with other leaders in America to take us where we ended up.
John, you've given us a lot of good insight over this 20 minutes or so, and we end each podcast with what we call a pearl of wisdom. And that pearl of wisdom is something that either comes from what you have said that might be the thing that you'd like for people to remember, or maybe it's different than something you've said. So what, in one sentence, would that pearl of wisdom be?
Well, I did allude to this biblical verse earlier, where there's no vision, people perish. I think that's part of it. I think people look for hope in the future, and I think that's what the message of the gospel really does. We all have difficulties in life, and if you just feel like you're kind of existing through it, and certainly you try to do things to change it, make it better, whatever, but without some consistent bigger picture vision, even if you have a great life, the question becomes, what happens next? And so to me, having a vision of the future, and, you know, God has given us that in his message, I think it's important to help people realize that and live it. And, you know, to me, the Bible, my religion, is important to me. There, sometimes in our country, it's more difficult to do it directly, but I think the Judeo-Christian values that Christ has given us make very good common business sense. And I was blessed to have an active Christian leadership team. And at times we would talk about that, but always in our principles and values and cultures, I would say they were built directly along the lines of the values and principles Christ taught us.
It's interesting to note that you use the word hope quite a bit.
Yes.
And as I went to the Orlando Health website, mm-hmm. And looked at the vision, the word hope.
No, was it? Okay. Yeah. I didn't remember that.
It says that the vision is a trusted leader inspiring hope.
Sure.
Through the advancement of health.
And well, I think all humans need to have hope. Life without hope. You know, one thing that struck me, Sam, is over the years as I've dealt with people, whether it's in community activities, the homeless things, whatever, that sometimes the religious strength and power of people who are in circumstances that you would say they could never be satisfied or you know, how can they live with the stresses they have? And whether it's economic or social or whatever, a common theme I see is the people that do well in those circumstances. Some of them improve their lives, some of them never change, but the people that have hope, and I think there's, in a lot of cases, a strong belief in Jesus Christ and his message, and there's a sense that there is a better future ahead because he has told us there will be if we live according to his principles and guidance.
John, that's a good period to our podcast, and unfortunately our time is up. Thank you for being here today, and thank everybody out there for tuning in. You can reach John, if you would like, with the email address john.hillenmeyer@outlook.com, and that's john.hillenmeyer@outlook.com. Again, I thank you all for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. I'll see you all next Wednesday. In the meantime, always, always keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.